Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined once more by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Morning, John. Good to be back.
So we're going to be discussing quite a interesting company in the context of COVID in Deliveroo, as well as Ashtead and ECR Minerals a little bit later on in the podcast. But to start with, Alan, let's look at the most prominent piece of news that we are seeing this morning, and that is from the United States in the progression of the infrastructure spending bill. We've seen a approval for a direct federal spending of $550 billion overnight. That's going to include $110 billion for roads and bridges, $65 billion for speeding up the internet infrastructure over there. I think there's about $70 billion for clean energy, amongst other things. When we're looking at what's happening there, not a huge market reaction so far, but indeed this is spending that's going to happen over a number of years. So unlikely to see any major shifts initially. But from sort of looking at what you've seen there, Alan, of course there's always this saying, if the United States sneezes, we catch a cold. That would obviously look at the sort of negative side of things. This is obviously quite positive. Do you think there could be any spillover into European and UK equities from the US spending bill?
Oh, very much so, John. I mean, this is, let's not beat about the bush. This is hugely positive. It's widely accepted that the US infrastructure, you know, particularly when you go into the American heartlands, a lot of the roads, the networks there, the infrastructure are, they're suffering badly. That, you know, it looks worn out, frankly. There is a huge need to modernize the infrastructure, bring in high speed internet, bring in clean energy, and this plan will execute that. And of course, there are companies with exposure to the US, and I'm going to talk about the company Ashtead shortly. Ashtead, of course, owns the Sunbelt Rentals businesses across the UK, the US and Canada. So it has direct exposure to that upside. So, of course, it's going to be hiring the equipment to facilitate that modernization program. So, yeah, I mean, by and large, it's hugely positive. The infrastructure does need upgrading. And, of course, this has probably been exemplified by the COVID pandemic. Just as with China, a lot of the projects that were on the back burner and set to have been launched and construction work should have started last year, of course, hasn't. And so everything is a year behind, including the US infrastructure modernization program. So it's a very good thing. And there will be spin-offs into businesses. And of course, we're going to touch on Ashtead shortly and how it affects them.
Yes. Yeah, so of course, you know, investors looking to play this story, that the most logical way of doing this would be looking at American companies operating specifically there, particularly ones from looking at this morning, ones that certain investors and fund managers have been highlighting, particularly those ones operating railroad companies. Of course, moving the materials backwards and forwards, equipment and such like. They're going to see a big jump in activity there. Of course, general construction companies and those dealing particularly with US contracts, waterworks companies in the United States are, of course, one that's going to be very much central to the facilitation of the infrastructure spending. So there is a number of interesting companies to have a look at there. But what we're going to do now, Alan, as we mentioned there, is look at one company that I do remember back to when I was working with clients on building their portfolios predominantly of UK equities, is one company that was always a favourite among investors when they wanted to gain exposure to any increase in activity in the US construction industry. And that company is Plant Hire Company, Ashtead. Anyone that has a quick look at their chart will see a huge rally in their shares over the last 6 months, Alan. What's behind that, and how could they benefit going forward from the US infrastructure bill?
Well, it's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, Jonathan, what you've described there, you know, putting clients into Ashtead, I'm turning the clock back, getting over 20 years here when I've started sharecrazy.com, and of course, one of the popular stocks on the bulletin board was Ashtead. And Malcolm Stacey, of course, who is still working out there as a commentator. Malcolm was a big fan of Ashtead. And I think the shares back then were 30, 40p, and we weren't doing a great deal, but it was a steady cornerstone in a portfolio. So, and it gave you great exposure. And of course, what Ashtead did, they went to the US and they basically acquired Sunbelt Rentals. And Sunbelt Rentals are a huge national network of equipment hire and rental across the US and in the UK and Canada. Of course, they trade under Sunbelt here in the UK now as well. But they've just seen an explosion both in revenues and in customers over the past few years. I mean, they've got getting on for 19,000 employees, some 800,000 rental assets across all of their chains, 815,000 customers, and that's up from 745,000 customers in 2020. So you can see the exponential growth right there. You know, it's growing at that rate of knots. Revenues of just over 5 billion, and they've just got, you know, if you want to rent it, then Ashtead or Sunbelt Rentals is the place to do it, you know, every sort of equipment hire. So, of course, this infrastructure bill in the US is meat and drink to the likes of Ashtead. It simply means that these infrastructure contracts, once they're underway, will of course be going to the key plant hire suppliers to provide the plant to complete the infrastructural upgrades that are required. And Ashtead is in pole position to do that. But I mean, I remember, as I said just now, when we were talking about the stock in the early noughties, I mean, it was 30p, 40p. And over the past year, I mean, we're looking back in 2009, it was as high as 80p, and then the growth started. But the real exponential growth over the past year has been staggering. I mean, the shares literally have doubled in value since May last year. So it's been an astonishing performance from the company, but it's come of age. And I think with this exposure it has, with this new infrastructure bill in place, there's every prospect of the shares rising higher again. I mean, it is very highly valued. It's got a valuation of 25 billion market cap, pays a dividend of just under 1%. So the dividend is on the shares. But if you tell that stock, if you bought a big block of stock back in the early noughties and just sat on it, then it would have repaid you handsomely many times over. And of course, is now very much a multi-bagger. So is there scope for further growth? Yes, I think there is. And obviously, Ashtead has been very well run. The chief executive, Brendan Horgan, has done a very good job. He said in the most recent statement in Outlook, there was clear momentum, strong positions in all markets, supported by a high quality fleet, a strong financial position, and a new strategic plan to help them capitalize on opportunities. So I think there's every reason to expect further growth from the company. And if you were considering buying it at these levels, I don't think you'd be disappointed.
Yes, I mean one thing. You know, looking at the shares, huge rally, as we touched on there. I'm just looking at the forward earnings on them Alan, looking about 29 times earnings on a forward basis, that to me looks quite expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, do you think that, you know, those estimates that analysts have that would form those forward earnings multiples? Do you think we could see any revisions to their earnings going forward to increase those? Would bring that valuation down and maybe make them look a little bit more, a respectable valuation for investors that are looking to get into the stock? Or do you think the analysts have sort of priced in going forward any increased spending and also the recovery in the US construction industry already?
I think a good chunk of that has been factored in for sure. And of course, as you rightly said, John, the stock is expensive. But then again, the trend is your friend. And when you get a company that delivers growth year in, year out, grows its customers, grows its revenue, and you know, makes confident state. You know, the CEO Brendan Horgan is very confident in his outlook for the coming year. It'll be boosted by the infrastructure bill for sure. So there's little on the horizon at the moment that could upset that. Any change, of course, in the US market. You know, if the US if growth slowed and there were expectations possibly of a recession, then of course that would hugely impact on Sunbelt's revenues. And of course, there's very little room for disappointment in at current share price levels. But I think the growth story is there for all to see, and I think this infrastructure budget will certainly help drive continuing growth in Ashtead and of course Sunbelt Rentals going forward.
Indeed, going to be a particularly interesting stock to watch as this spending bill plays out in the United States. So now moving on, Alan, to a company which I would class as one of very few, actually, COVID stocks here listed in London. Of course, you know, if you look at the United States, you had, you know, all of the FANG stocks, online tech companies that were benefiting from the working from home environment that was forced upon people during the pandemic. In the UK, we didn't have too many companies that were direct beneficiaries to the pandemic. Of course, some did very well. But in terms of, you know, consumer habits, there were a couple of companies. One of them is Deliveroo. I had a huge gain throughout the pandemic in terms of share price. But we've actually seen their half-year results this morning. Alan, shares are down about 4% looking now. What is the update from them?
Okay, so Deliveroo, of course, founded by Will Hsu and Greg Orlowski in 2013, has hundreds of outlets across the UK and across Europe, Netherlands, France, Belgium, Ireland, Spain and Italy. Although Spain is, I think, has created some issues with the format of employment that it offers its riders. And of course, Deliveroo riders have become quite a famous site in our streets and towns over the past 4 to 5 years. And you know, it's a very visible company in that regard. But of course, as you rightly say, Uber with its network, and Just Eat, of course, is the established player in the market. Frankly, it's amazed me how Deliveroo have come to market, and I think after a fairly inauspicious start, the share price has really driven ahead over the past year. Currently got a market cap of 6.3 billion. Shares have traded as high as 390 pence on the year and as low as 224p at 347p currently. And indeed, this morning, the numbers showed that Deliveroo had experienced a real boost during the pandemic. Orders more than doubled to 148.8 million, with transactions worth 3.4 billion over the 6 month period. So that's nearly 100% higher than last year. And you know, certainly forecasts are going forward are very strong indeed. And Deliveroo has yet to make a profit. Pre-tax losses narrowed to 104 million. So I guess on that sort of transactional value, that's still a fairly good return. So I think once Deliveroo turns to profit altogether, then I think that's going to probably boost the shares further again. Certainly, there's a company, a Berlin-based company, Delivery Hero, took a 300 million stake in Deliveroo last week, which really helped drive the shares higher. And obviously, you know, that potentially puts Deliveroo in the frame as a potential takeover target. Certainly, you know, given the success of Uber Eats and the ongoing success of Just Eat. And I think Deliveroo's business model, which uses high quality restaurant options versus, you know, the standard fare of its rivals, could give it that USP going forward. And of course, I think the fact that they bought in Amazon executive Devesh Mishra as product and technology officer to help expand the business is quite telling. I think there is scope for growth. I was amazed that the company came to market with a market cap it did, but it's been a success already. And I think the growth that we're seeing in turnover and also the narrowing losses too do make this quite an attractive company. I probably want to sit on the sidelines personally and wait until they started generating a profit. But I might well miss the boat. But that's just my view. But certainly, it's making very good progress and does show scope, I think, going forward for further growth.
So, I mean, the question that I'd have, and I'm sure a number of investors would have that are looking at the company, we're looking at a half year set of results, which included quite a significant portion of lockdown, where people were obviously at home. And I know myself, as a user of Deliveroo before the pandemic, I was using it, you know, a lot more throughout the pandemic, and I've actually started to find myself now using a little bit less now that we can go out to restaurants and such like, and normal life can resume. It does beg the question, if during a period where we had significant lockdowns and people were obviously at home, and we saw that huge increase in orders, if they weren't able to generate a profit there during that period, how does that set things up for the rest of the year and going forward, that yes, we're probably going to see a sustained level of orders that were higher than they were before the pandemic, but we're likely to see a drop off in that. How are they going to be turning a profit if we see a drop in orders going forward?
Well, I think that's the million dollar question, isn't it, John? And I think that's why, you know, my view still, I would still want to see the company return a profit within that more normal environment. But of course, they've hired this guy from Amazon to develop the on-demand grocery offering that they have. And indeed, in the update this morning, they said that they were seeing a lot of great attraction in on-demand grocery, supported by a rollout with leading partners. So I think Deliveroo are diversifying, and they're looking to diversify further into online grocery deliveries, possibly working with local grocers up and down the country, which is a great idea. So all the while, they've got that opportunity, and presumably the Devesh Mishra that they bought in from Amazon could well help them to connect with the Amazon network as well. So that's a further opportunity for them. But of course, it remains to be seen. I think, you know, it's still early stage. They've got to, I think, demonstrate that they can diversify and through that deliver the profit that I think a lot of investors will be looking for.
Yes. I mean, it's one like yourself that I'm a little bit skeptical about given looking at the marketing spend and the marketing spend, looking at some of their peers that they're having to put in to secure orders going forward. And I just know, sort of looking around in London, there's lots of delivery, food delivery services, you know, popping up in little niches, but, you know, just looking at deliveries for artisans. You know, of course, you've got the other end of the scale with Morrisons on Amazon. There's a lot of players in the market. So this is a sector which I'm going to watch quite keenly going forward. But, you know, with shares here, a little bit sceptical on how they're going to perform going forward. But certainly an interesting sector to watch in, you know, given the technology that some of these companies are operating and you know, how they can scale their businesses going forward. So I'm sure one that we'll touch on again, as well as the others in the sector, including, you know, Just Eat and Ocado and the other companies operating online food deliveries. So, Alan, now moving on to a company that regular listeners to the podcast will be familiar with, because they are operating a quite exciting portfolio of assets which always have updates, and that's ECR Minerals. What's the latest update from them, Alan?
Okay, John. So ECR Minerals are an AIM-listed company. Shares currently trading at 1.55p, giving a market cap of 15.3 million. And ECR Minerals are active miners, an active mining and exploration company with assets focused in the Victoria Goldfields region in southern Australia. They have two key projects in that region. They have the Creswick project, which is just north of the Ballarat gold mine, which is a producing mine, and the Baileyston area project, which is just east of the famous Fosterville gold mine, which, of course, I think last year produced some 620,000 ounces of gold. And indeed, the region around that is rife with old mines and exploration works. And through the ownership of these licenses, ECR has been actively engaged throughout 2021 in what it refers to as an aggressive drilling campaign across these territories. In Creswick, they are the head geologist, Adam Jones, is that they are building up a picture of, with their drilling, of the of the infrastructure and the type of the type of strata that they are looking at under the ground there. They also, at the start of the year, purchased their own drilling rig, a Cortec drilling rig, which is being used at Baileyston. And whilst currently they have contractors working for them at the Creswick project, they have also just announced they've acquired a second drilling rig. And ECR is, unlike many small cap mining stocks, they are very well funded. They've got some 5 million quid in the bank. As Craig Brown, the CEO, and the geologist Adam Jones keep saying, you know, that money's going into the ground. You know, they are aggressively drilling across these prospects. And indeed, on the 19th of July, the ongoing drilling campaign there showed some detailed drilling intercepts. And there's a very good image, actually, which articulates it very well. They found at various samples in hole CSD03, 0.95 metres at 23.5 grams of gold, and a similar reading with 10 grams, just under 10 grams, and various other holes where they're getting these readings. But because of what they refer to as the folding faults within the ground, that's when the strata basically folds and little pockets are created. Adam Jones said in a recent interview that they were kind of trying to estimate the value along each shaft that they drill, and estimating that there could be, you know, millions of dollars worth of gold within each strata that they're drilling through. He also believes that they will develop, rather than an open pit mine, they would be develop an underground mine similar to Ballarat, indicating that the geology there is very similar to the Ballarat territories. So we move from there. We then go to the Baileyston project, and that consists of a series of prospects and also in which includes the cherry tree prospect. And yesterday there was an update from the company on the cherry tree prospect. They drilled a series of holes there, and the best intercept was 11 grams per ton from half a meter of gold, just under 100 meters down. And they'd seen a series of intercepts containing small amounts of gold from that. So they're building up again a picture there of the geology in the area. And Craig said that he was pleased to report this highly significant early result there, both in terms of the geological setting and the gold mineralization identified. So this is very much an ongoing campaign that will reveal a much greater picture as we go forward. But certainly the head geo there, Adam Jones, is very excited about the potential of Creswick, and I think we're going to get some more news there in the not too distant future. They have other interests too. They also have they have two operating companies in Australia: Makeda Gold, which is operating the Goldfields, Victoria Goldfields drilling campaign. Then to the north in Queensland, they've acquired two new assets: Lux Exploration, the local company there. They've acquired three licenses, or applied for three licenses, in the Lolworth Range area, which is believed highly prospective for alluvial gold prospecting. So we're going to hear more about that. And also an interesting development a few weeks back on a license that the company owns in, or a 25% interest the company owns in the Philippines, the Dangley Gold Project. The former CEO, Stephen Clayson, resigned both from ECR Minerals and as a consultant, and also from the Philippines company Cordillera Tiger. Craig and the team there have they're working to crystallize their 25% interest in the Dangley Gold Project, which is believed has there's an inferred mineral resource estimate of 63.5 ounces of gold at the prospect there. So again, there are further developments there. So ECR, it's very much ongoing, fully funded, and really the what we're seeing with the share price performance at the moment is just reflecting the general malaise in small mining stocks. But I think as a clearer picture emerges of the Creswick project and the potential there, I think we're going to see a significant revaluation for the company before too long.
Yes, indeed. Looking at the share prices and something we've mentioned on the podcast before of ECR, we saw a big spike at the beginning of the year, and that's obviously tailed off since. You know, we went up to nearly 4.5 pence, currently trading just above 1.5 pence. Alan, I mean, do you think it's a case that some investors here may be growing a little bit impatient, or not happy with the assets that they have there at ECR, or do you think there's maybe not an understanding of what they actually have there in the ground and what they're working on?
I think a lot of investors in mining stocks like this don't. That they invest and expect an instant return, and it simply doesn't work that way. The most of the issues really is whether the company has sufficient funding to complete a drilling campaign so it can get a clear picture of what it has in the ground. There's no doubt that certainly in Creswick there's great potential, and there have, you know, Craig has mentioned they've been in, Craig Brown, the CEO, has mentioned in the past they've been in discussions with other parties or interested parties to develop that project. So it may well happen. We may well see that once further drilling results come to light, then we may well see some progress on that front too. But also interesting to see as well that Makeda Gold, the local the company operating the drilling campaigns in Victoria Goldfields, is undertaking quite a bit of work to work with local schools there. It's produced a rock kit to help youngsters there gain an interest in geology and working in the industry. So they're pretty high profile locally, Makeda Gold. So it's a very exciting time for the company.
Indeed, and one that I'm sure we'll be updating listeners on as we hear more from the company. So just to recap, the companies that we discussed today was Ashtead Group, trading under the ticker of AHT, Deliveroo with a ticker of ROO, and just then was ECR Minerals with a ticker of ECR. Alan, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, John.
Just a note for listeners, if you want to know a little bit more about particularly the Deliveroo story, there is a story article on the UK Investor magazine website, so do check that out. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.